Well, this evening we're going back into our teaching again in Mountain Moving Faith. We've been, is the subject. Sometimes I know in teaching this over the years and listening to people, and they would teach on the subject of Mountain Moving Faith, and they act like this is a special kind of faith, and it's not. It's just regular faith. When we teach about it, it's just what Jesus said about what faith is. That same thing, you know, really, it's how you got born again, is through Mountain Moving Faith. You did the same thing, and Mountain Moving Faith is just believing something in your heart and saying it with your mouth. That's what Mountain Moving Faith is, and of course, we act upon that word also, but we've been looking at these. We're talking, last week, I've just been led by the Spirit to really dealing with a lot of things that really wasn't specifically in my notes. There's things we might cover later on that have to do with some of those things, but I just felt led the Holy Spirit, but we're going to go back over tonight as long as the Holy Spirit wants to move this way. We're going to look more into my teaching from my notes tonight. But we're just looking at these foundations of faith and dealing with the areas of having. We talked about the, not last week or the week before, about having a measure of faith. And we all, as believers, and understand this, when we're teaching in faith, we're not talking about unbelievers. Unbelievers do not have the faith that we're talking about. So it isn't, don't try to relate, because people talk about having faith, and I've seen Christians use the terms of having faith talking about unbelievers. But the scriptures really don't teach that. God visualizes, or in other words, he sees faith as what the believer has. And when he deals with the subject of faith, God deals with us as believers, our faith. God, there isn't another kind of faith. Any other kind of faith, you'll end up in hell. You know, it don't matter what you believe. And there's not many faiths. There's only one faith. There's one faith in Jesus Christ. And that's the foundation of all the faith for Christians, for us as Christians, is that faith. And so having that measure of faith. And we looked at some things. We found that, you know, the Bible says in Ephesians 2:8, it said, by grace you've been saved through faith. It's not of yourself. It's a gift of God. In other words, faith came from God. You and I got our faith from God. That's where it came. It came from God's word. So when we're dealing with that, a faith in which in Romans says faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, which we'll go on to talk about those things. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So we're dealing with a specific faith. We're not dealing with a generalized talking about faith. We're talking about Christian faith, and Christian faith comes from the word of God. That's it. If somebody else believes something else as God's considered, it is not a faith. There's not many faiths. So this faith that we have, it came from God. You heard the word preached, and we're going to read down through this as we go over. We're going to go into Romans, the 10th chapter, because I'm going to read down through a section of scripture there when we sort of tie the whole thing together. We got this faith from God. That's where it came from. God, someone preached the word. You heard those words, and you believed those words. And you responded to those words, and we're going to find out the response. Paul goes through and explains about the response to the words of God. And I want to go into the Romans the 10th chapter. In Romans the 10th chapter, I'm going to start in verse 8, because it's important of what is said here in verse 8. Lots of times, you know, we emphasize really over in the areas about are believing, you know, that Jesus, Lord, confessing that God raised him from the dead, you'd be saved. But Paul made this statement in Romans 10 and verse 8 says, but what does it say? The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. The word's near you. What's the word of God? So he's talking, and he's going to be dealing with this subject of faith. When he's talking about faith, he's talking about what's in your heart and on your lips, or what you're saying. That's faith. Faith is believing something. A person can believe something and not say it, and they have not operated in faith. We have this idea, and you've got to remove this from yourself in your thoughts, because we've generally been taught in the church world that faith is believing something. That is not God faith. God faith is what he says right here. The word is near you, in your heart and in your mouth. It's in your mouth, in your heart. It's two places. Just because you believe something, that doesn't make it faith, God's faith. God's faith is something believed and said. Faith that is not said, just believed, will produce nothing. No one ever got saved just believing Jesus was Lord. That has never happened, although Christians say it does. That's an impossibility. It's impossible. Because that will never bring anything to pass. Just believing something brings nothing to pass. You know, it's just, you know, having a car and no gas. You're going to sit at home. Do you get gas in that thing? You're going to sit at home. This has been the church. The church has been sitting and going nowhere because they don't understand faith. They talk and say things. Now listen what Paul wrote to them and went on to say. That is the word of faith which we preach. It's called the word of faith. That's where people got the saying of word of faith people. It's word of faith. And we need to understand this because just believing something, just believing what the word says is not enough. It will not produce anything. It won't produce anything just believing. It won't produce anything. Faith, we need to understand. We're dealing the subject of faith. We were talking about what we believe and what we say. That sets things in motion. You know, and it's really important because you could believe something and then go act like it's, walk around acting like it's true, but never said anything, and it still don't produce anything. See, this is where where so many people are messed up. Christians have been taught to be silent. And yet we should have been taught to use our voices. We've been taught to be silent. We're taught silent prayer. That's why nobody's prayers gets answered. So everything's silent. We don't speak our faith in prayer. Faith must be spoken in prayer. It must be spoken. It has to be said. Whatever things you desire when you pray. You know what prayer is? Speaking words. That's what it is. Speaking words. But we've been taught in Christianity to basically be silent. We've taught that, oh, if you believe something's true, well, then you're just a person of faith. But yet, that's not true at all. A person of faith believes something and says something. Paul said, we preach the word of faith. Yeah, what? Faith is a substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Faith is seen in your heart. It's a seen thing. It's just not seen to the natural eye. But you're believing it. But you believe something and you can believe it's true and it could be true. But if it's not spoken, it produces nothing. It doesn't produce anything. It isn't till really, Dr. Roy Hicks used to teach a series, and it was called The Two Halves of Faith, Believing and Saying. See, faith has two halves. Actually, there's three parts of faith. There's three parts of faith. There's believing, saying, and doing. You act upon what you believe. Now, to be born again, the action of faith, sometimes the action of faith is no more than to speak. You can be born again by believing what the Word says, then confessing Lord Jesus, Jesus is Lord. You can. But many times, it goes beyond that. See, this is where people's faith dies. People believe something. They say something. Then what happens? They begin to live like it's not true, and after a while, they quit believing it. See, this is why acting on the word is so important. It keeps you vital and alive. It keeps your faith strong. Strong faith is not made through believing and saying. Strong faith comes from actions. It's just the same way as in the natural. In natural, eating good food can be very good for you and your body and helping your body for natural growth. But you will never become strong without using your muscles. Strength comes from doing. Strength doesn't come from eating. Even though it is good, it's good to eat. It would be good to eat. You know, that would be a good thing to do. You ain't going to last too long if you don't eat. But it is actions. And really, what really makes Christianity vital to us, where it really becomes a real thing to us, is acting on the word. And it becomes things in your life where you're doing it. Then it fortifies the things that you believe and say all the time. And your actions are upon the word of God. It becomes real to you. And so that's one of the things you want to do. But Paul's writing here. So he called it, he said, it's the word, we preach the word of faith. That we need to, as we go on, Paul explains this. We'll talk about it because you'll see this. He goes on to say, he says, that if, now in verse 9, it's the word of faith we preach. It's in your heart and in your mouth is to, it says, that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you would be saved. So there's something you believe and something you say. The word of faith. It's the word of faith. The word of faith, it's something in your heart. There's something you believe and there's something you say. So here again, so we see faith. He's talking about how faith works. Now understand, faith for salvation is no difference, really. If you understand the basis of faith, you can begin to apply it anywhere in your Christian life to use it for whatever. And it is so much more simple than they've made it to be. One of the things I think they thought it was so hard to believe things is one thing, it's very hard to maintain a belief in something you're not saying. It's very hard to maintain a belief. If you're talking, and this is why Christians have been held silent. Over the years, I've talked many times to people who have come to me. I remember, you know, as being in Bible school, teaching in Bible school. And students would come and they'd talk about their faith and how they struggle with it. And really, one of the things that I always dealt with them on is their silence. I deal with them with their silence. I said, you say you believe certain things, but that's not what you talk and say. You've got to talk it and say what you believe. That's, you're releasing. There's nothing can come to pass till it's released. It can't. Something held in your heart. It's just like you'll never move the mountain. I don't care how much you believe it's true in your heart. You'll never move the mountain till you speak it and say it. And if you don't speak it and say it and don't ever say it, eventually you're going to weaken what's inside of you and your belief about the mountain moving. And after a while, you won't believe that. After a while, you'll be sitting there. See, you have to, because that's what releases. The power of God is released from you and me through our voice for what we say. Isn't that interesting? Do you ever think about God would speak to a prophet and speak through a prophet, and that prophet would pronounce those words into the earth and speak them? God didn't bring anything to pass without spoken words. Once God put man in the earth, God didn't speak into the earth by bypassing man. He never did. He always had a prophet who would get to speak his words. Why? Because he gave authority of the earth to man, and so to bring it to pass, he'd have to get somebody to say the words. See, that's why, you know, if anything, I mean, in school, what they want you to read, don't move your lips, don't move your lip, don't say anything, don't do anything, read, and don't, you know, this is the way they, and they talk about people with comprehension. You know, most people comprehend more things that are read out loud. A lot of times, that's why kids love people to read to them, they hear words said, they catch things really quick. I'll tell you one thing. I used to sit down. I always, like when I was in Bible school, I always studied my notes. I read them out loud to myself. I would never sit down and really study for tests. I would just read my notes out loud to me. And I'll tell you what, it'd be just like I was back in class again. That stuff would just dawn on me. I'd go and take the test, get A's. All these other people studying. What do they do? They're in their silence, trying to memorize things and trying to do things, all that kind of stuff. God taught me how to do it. He told me, first get yourself praying in tongues and get your spirit working good. And then he said, just read through your notes. And that's what I do. I'd sit down and read through my notes, and I'd read through my notes and go take a test and do fine. You know, I'll never forget, we took, Cooper Beatty had his test on church history and all. That was the big dread test. That was, everybody hated that test. And you'd hear all these, all dread, people were just, oh, if I could just pass that test. I told him, I'll take that test. I'm going to get an A in that test. You're crazy. I went and took the test. I only had like one wrong or something on the whole test. I went into it. And you know, people talk about studying. I never studied for the test. I just read my notes. I just, when I would listen in class, I would write things down. I'd write them down, write down what he said, and write down. And I would just go back. I'd pray in other tongues, and I'd get them out, and I'd read them out loud to myself. And I would read them out loud to me. Because why? That's words. Just like words spoken got into your spirit that you turned around and spoke, got you saved. It's the power was in that. And so, but they taught us silence. They taught us not to speak. They told us, you know, the people out here talk to themselves are crazy. I'm totally convinced of this. If you don't talk to yourself, you are crazy. I'll guarantee it. The devil will run your life. Because your mind will be under the control of whoever's thoughts gets in your mind. And if they ain't your thoughts. And I learned, I can control thoughts by what I say. I can control thoughts. And so I learned those things, but I didn't learn them because I was a rocket scientist. The Lord told me, you know, you do these things, there's things that you do. I remember the Lord speaking to me when I first went to Bible school about things, about here's what you got to do. If you want to do well, here's what you do. And so in class, I was always studious in class, sat there, took great notes, always took good notes, wrote down, you know, everything. I don't think something didn't seem important. I wrote it down anyhow. I just took really good notes in class, and then I'd turn around and I would just go home. I'd read my notes. I'd just read them. You'd be like back in class again. what you're reading, and you have those words are being said back to you again. You're reading them. You hear your voice saying them, and you're going back over the thing. Lots of times when I would start reading notes, it was almost like I could hear the instructor, what he was saying during the classes. It's almost like I'd go back through, and that class would just come to alive to me. There's lots of things that come to my remembrance. So I'd say, oh, I didn't have that in my notes, and I'd go write it in my notes. I could remember things and that stuff. But by saying it, by saying those things, that's a powerful thing. Hearing myself say those things. And I just want to encourage you in that. So here's words that are said. Now in verse 9 he says, for with the heart one believes unto righteousness. Isn't that nice to believe unto? But you know what? It's not enough. And with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. You never got saved. You could believe, there's righteousness, but you never get it till you make a confession with your mouth. That puts it in motion. In other words, the power of faith is the voice. Voice activates power. This is why people have power trouble, is they have voice trouble. They have voice trouble. We activate our faith through what we say. I can believe unto righteousness, but it isn't until I made the confession of Jesus Christ my Lord that activated salvation. In other words, the power of the words of salvation never exploded into my life till I made the confession. I never forget. It's like when I was a kid, you know, we were in a plain church and they would have people, you know, they'd preach the gospel and then have people, you went to the altars and people would, they call it praying through. And you know what happens? People wouldn't get saved. They'd have people come down who really the Holy Spirit was drawing them because the word was preached, but they got down there. They didn't believe in making, you couldn't get saved confession of Jesus. I'll never forget, I was with my parents at a church one time, and this guy, I'll never forget, he was a minister up front, and he preached a message, and he asked if anybody wanted to come for salvation, and a young girl came up, and they walked up, and he had them there, and he had them go through a confession of salvation. And I'll never forget my mom saying this, you can't get saved like that. Well, that's exactly how you get saved. That's by confession. You believe something in your heart, you confess it with your mouth. That's exactly how you get saved. And so, you know, lots of times, like they got saved probably more by accident than they did by purpose. Because they didn't know what to do. Nobody was telling them. They had all this religious stuff you go through to do things, and they didn't understand the power. So when somebody come along and made something simple, and this is what I want you to understand, faith is not some hard thing. They have made it hard. They put all this religious junk in the middle of it, and they've made it hard. And when it comes down to it, most people don't even know, in the body of Christ, don't even know what faith is. When you tell them, say, what's faith? They'll say, trust. What on earth does that mean? If you just trust, then you have faith. Well, how does that trust thing work? You know, why does one person trust God and it works and does things for him, the other guy trusts and gets run over by the truck? How come that? Well, in other words, faith is different? No, faith's not different. It's people don't know what faith is. How do you operate in faith? How do you do it? People don't know. They talk about prayer and praying. But yet most people don't know how to use faith in prayer. They don't know how to use it. They think telling God all your complaints or your problems is going to move him to do something for you. And they call that faith. I'm trusting him to take care of this thing. Yeah, but what have you said about it? Well, no, you know, I've just talked how bad it is. I just talked. Well, you know, sometimes I've talked to God out of the situations, and I'm not telling what the Word says it's supposed to be, and what I expect it to turn out to be. So we need to understand the importance of this thing, as what Paul's teaching here, because we look at this area as a salvation, but I could go into most churches that believe in this, what I've said so far concerning what this says about getting saved, but outside of getting saved, they don't use it for nothing. It doesn't do anything. This is just salvation. Now, he says in verse 11, for the Scripture says, whoever believes on him will not be put to shame. Well, now, what does it mean to believe on him? Believe on him is to believe something and say something, isn't it? That's how you do it. See, we have this thing, believe on him just means I believe it. No, to believe on him is to believe in your heart and then have said something in your mouth. Because we just told us, you believe in the righteousness, but salvation was through confession. In other words, when he makes a statement here, the Scripture says, whoever believes on him will not be put to shame. It says, for there is no distinction between Jew and Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich to all who call upon him, for whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. But how do you call on the name of the Lord? How do you do it? Well, he told us how you call on it. It's what you believe in your heart and what you say in your mouth. It isn't so, save me, Jesus. People teach that stuff. But he didn't say that's what it is. He said it's what you believe in your heart and you say with your mouth. And he told us there's some specifics you have to believe. There is some things specifically you have to believe. One of the things, you have to believe in the resurrection and confess, you know, be with Jesus, Lord God raised him from the dead. And so he made those statements. Now he goes on to say in verse 14, he says, now then, how then shall they call on him whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe on him whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? In other words, somebody must speak words to people so they can have faith. And this is what you're noticing. The Christianity is a talking faith. It's a talking faith. Christianity is a talking faith. It has words spoken. In other words, to have faith, to believe something, one has to hear it. The most effective thing or the effective way that you can learn things is to have things spoken to you. It's the most effective way it is. There's one thing to sit down. I mean, I've studied and I've learned things from Scripture, but it's a powerful thing to sit down and have words spoken to you and things explained out through words is one of the most effective ways to understand things, to understand how they work. And that's God anoints people. See, how would they know? They wouldn't know. In other words, God put preachers to preach. And then he says this, and how shall they preach unless they are sent? Then he says, as it's written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who bring glad tidings of good things. So here it is. God is sending people to preach. In other words, God anoints people. And now on top of this, just think about this. This isn't just man going out and do it. God anoints people. This isn't necessarily the same. Sinners can get anointed. There are in this earth. Our president is anointed. He ain't anointed by God, but he's anointed. Adolf Hitler was a very anointed man. That's why their words have such effect, is the anointing. And see, that's why Christians want the anointing to speak words. You want to be anointed to speak words. Any Christian become anointed, God moves on them to say things, is what we're saying. And that's why we speak in line with the Word, God's Word. And we're dealing with the subject of faith. We're talking about speaking God's words, saying God's words, or we speak God's Word. That's why when I read the Bible, I always read the Bible to myself. If I'm studying, I read the words out loud to myself. I read them out loud to myself. Faith comes by hearing. Bible don't say faith comes by reading. It don't say that. It says faith comes by hearing. One of the most effective ways. It's one thing as I learned. I got around people who knew some things about faith, and I saw people who could really develop their faith, and I listened to them over time of what they did and things that they did, and I found out, I don't think I ever met a one of them that don't read the word themselves out loud. Don't say the word to themselves. They do that. You don't sit there and quietly read. See, we have been trained in our natural education to keep silent. And that's total opposite of what God has done. And so we speak words because faith comes. As we get down through this, and it says in verse 16, it said, but they have not all obeyed, it said, the gospel, for Isaiah said, God, who has believed our report? Verse 17 is then we get, so then faith comes by hearing, and by hearing by the word of God. So understand this, when you're reading the Bible and studying the Bible about faith, it is talking about faith in God's word. It is not talking about believing in whatever else. It's only one thing that the subject is talking about. It's about faith in God's word. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Anything else, God don't consider faith. Man does. That's man's belief. And so these things are only spoken for believers, because a sinner, if he doesn't get born again, if he doesn't receive the gospel that's preached to him to be born again, if he doesn't receive that, there is no point to talking to him about anything else. There's no point to it. Because the Holy Spirit's not going to reveal. That isn't what he does. We're talking about faith to the believer. This is speaking to the believer about faith, not to the sinner. The sinner believes the gospel to get saved. But if he's not going to believe the gospel to get saved, there's no point to trying to go beyond that. Because revelation isn't going to even come to them beyond that point. It's not going to come to them. It's not for them. They don't have the Holy Spirit in them. The Holy Spirit's not their teacher. He doesn't indwell them to teach them. And see, we've taken the Bible and turned it into just a domestic book that, you know, and we go out here and really trying to make it fit everybody. It only fits one group of people, the church. That's it. It's not for the rest of them. This salvation, the things that are taught here, this is Paul writing to the church. He wasn't writing to the people in Rome. He was writing to the church at Rome. He wasn't writing to everybody. Loads of people out here. Well, I've over the years, I've said before, people come along, what's your faith? See, I only know there's one. What do you mean, what's yours? Anything outside of it ain't no faith at all. There's only one faith. If my faith isn't based upon Jesus Christ, then there isn't any other faith. There's none other than existence. You see, people talk about faith, they talk about denominations as if they're faith. They're not faith. That's man's stupidity. That's, you know, there ain't nothing matter having a denomination. People want to believe certain things. They only want to have certain stuff. Well, go ahead and have at it. Do whatever you want. But there is only one faith. You're going to get to heaven. There's only going to be one group of people there. There ain't going to be people from all kind of other stuff who believed other things. If Jesus Christ isn't the basis of their faith, they will not be there. And see, we need to come back to the truth about the Bible and what the writings of the Bible, they're specifically written to believers. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. And so we've made, you know, faith just sort of a general subject. It's not a general subject, it's specific. Faith is specific. It's specific in its operation. It's specific how it works. And it's specific in what it does. So as we dealing with the subject of faith. That's why a believer, when you came to faith in Christ Jesus, now you have faith. Now there is no believer can say he doesn't have faith. He may not have his faith developed in certain areas. Maybe there's certain areas of the word that has not been preached to that individual, and they don't know. See, one of the things that could really help me, I got born again and listening to Kenneth Hagin's ministry, and Kenneth Hagin didn't teach just with salvation like 99% of people teach salvation. What they do is they teach salvation. It's all about just getting saved. Kenneth Hagin preached that when you got saved, it's so you could be healed and everything else. You get all the rest of it. You could get the baptism of the Holy Ghost. All that's yours because you're saved. And so when he preached that, and I've watched it already. I've been around, we were talking about T.L. Osborne. T.L. Osborne preached healing and faith. That's he would call by getting saved and being healed. That's what he was. And you go to his meeting, people get born again and get healed. They get born again and healed. They didn't have to wait down the line. It's because why? Most people have to wait down the line because they never hear the teaching until somewhere way down the line. And these people say, we're preaching the gospel. No, they're not. Jesus preached a healing gospel. Why wouldn't we preach one? The forefront of his ministry was the sinner would see through the gospel that God heals and delivers people. They'd see the goodness of God. We don't want people to know God's any good till after they get saved, and then that's questionable. Whether he's really good. And they never really preach. And people say, we're preaching the gospel. No, we preach a part of the gospel. We preach, you know, this part over here to get people saved, but then most of them, they don't even know if they're really saved well. They just think they're forgiven. You know, God wants to forgive you of your sins. They don't know that he did that to the world too. He's already done that to everybody. They don't know it. So even sometimes they're preaching a fictitious gospel. And this is why it's getting over the thing and really the gospel of the things of faith. If you have faith in God, you have a measure, and the Bible tells you, you have as a believer. The world, the sinner, does not have a measure of faith. He does not have that because he has never believed nor confessed Jesus with his Lord, so therefore he doesn't have faith because he's never acted upon. Faith is when you believe something and then you confess it with your mouth. That's faith. Faith has those two parts. You have to have those. If you don't, it's not faith. Just believing something is not faith. The Bible doesn't teach that. I know preachers teach it. I know they say it. But there's no place in the Bible teaches you that. The Bible teaches you that faith is believing something and then confessing that thing. It's important. The confession. The power in the confession of faith. That's where really the power of God is released in confession. That's where it's released. Believing something is great, but what it is, believing is almost like having a dynamite and not having a cap to set it off. That's what it is. Without confession, you don't have a cap to set it off. It will not be set off. You set it off by beginning to confess what you say. That's what sets things into motion. That's what makes things start working. When you got born again, it was upon the areas of confessing what you believed. It wasn't just believing it. That's today one of the big things it is. People think it's really, they're justified as a Christian because they believe something. No, what you're talking and saying is what's going to be the explosion in your life. If you're talking junk, don't surprise it blows up in your life. That's the way it works. Your mouth is really the cap that sets things off. It's what sets things off. And so understand that. The power. That's why the Christian is the most powerful thing in the earth. Jesus said all things are possible to him that believe. We talked about that. All things are possible to him that believeth. Now, don't you think about it. All things. Now, he never put a limit on that. He never put a limit on the things. Like I said, an atomic bomb, even though it's very powerful, cannot do all things. It can't do it. Now, it could blow up and cause a big damage, but they don't set atomic bombs off and do wonderful things with them. You know, say, we're going to blow you up to heal you. You know, no. But faith, actually, all things are possible to the person that believes. If a person believes something and begins to say it, there is nothing that's impossible. That's why when Jesus said mountain-moving faith was just simple a bit. If you believe it in your heart and you say it with your mouth and you don't doubt it, it will come to pass. That's really phenomenal. That's why Jesus, when he spoke to Peter and said to Peter, I'm going to give you the keys of the kingdom. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Well, it is done that through faith. Whatever we believe in our hearts and we say with mouth, we'll either put heaven to work or we'll put hell to work, one of the two. One of the two. But our words are going to start an explosion. I mean, think about it. We look in our earth today, what's going on, just say in our nation. The words spoken, if you go look at the news, the words and things that are spoken, you look at the words that are coming out of Congress and the words that are coming out, our nation's heading in the direction of the words spoken. The words are what's carrying out the things that are going on. Because people hear the words and then begin to act on the words. They begin to act like it's true. They begin to follow the path of the words. But see, words are always what set things in motion. James said, a little fire, how much a little fire, you know, kindle, he's talking about. And then he said, the tongue being this evil thing, he said it can set the whole course of nature on fire. He didn't say what you believe did. He said, your tongue will either start a fire or put one out. He didn't say your faith would. And what we call faith is just believing something. Believing something may never start a fire or ever do a thing, even though you believe a good thing may never start a fire of anything good. It's what you believe and you begin to say with your mouth and begin to speak those things, the speaking and saying the right things rather than speak the wrong things. And I want you to understand, so when I'm talking about this faith thing, I'm not talking about, you know, you just go out and talk any old way you want, then one day all of a sudden I'm going to talk right about this part because I want this. It ain't going to work that way. You'll never get to work that way. It'll cause you nothing but trouble. You've got to learn. It's got to become a way of life, a way we live. This is a way of life, is a way we live, is by doing this, is by faith in God's Word. This was to make the Christian so odd among everybody else. We're odd. We're running against the course of nature, if you haven't noticed. Everything else is running a totally different way and operates a totally different way. And this is what makes such difference. If you go over and you compare the ministry of Jesus, Jesus walked along, he talked different, he spoke different. He wasn't in the flow of what everybody else was going and doing. So he's the odd man out. This guy's weird. But now this guy got miracles going and the rest of them think they don't like him because, you know, he don't talk like they do. He has miracles, but, you know, he's weird. Most everybody's going to end up following the crowd. The way the crowd goes, I want to be with the crowd. You know, I want to be with everybody else. And Jesus is out here spoken and saying, but the miraculous follows him. And the miraculous follows him. And what happens to his disciples? His disciples become the same thing. And the miraculous follows them. The miraculous follows them. So, and that's what we want. We want the miraculous to follow us. And we do that through our believing and saying the Word of God. Believing and confessing what the Word says. I was teaching on Tuesday we were talking in the areas, we've been teaching a subject of righteousness by faith, but we got over into things about our faith in God. But what the Word says about faith and getting into these areas is how we view ourselves as a Christian. And we went over in the areas of Scriptures of looking. You know, the Bible says that sin will not have dominion over you. And the Bible says that we're not under law, but we're under grace. But sin does not have dominion, won't dominate you. The Bible says you're dead to sin, but you're alive to God. Well, that's exactly opposite of what most preachers preach. Most preachers preach, well, you're just going to sin. They don't preach, sin don't have dominion over you. No, you're just going to sin. Well, see, you're just going to sin, then sin has dominion over you. Then you're not dead to sin, you're alive to it. You'll never get out of sin talking the wrong stuff. Sin will always dominate people who talk the wrong thing. You don't get out of things trying to follow the law on things. Well, you shouldn't do this and you shouldn't do that. I learned a long time ago, that did nothing for me. But I found this out. If I would start to confess about myself what the Bible said, I found a change started taking place. When I started saying, sin doesn't have dominion over me. I'm not under law, but grace. You see, if a person, sin dominates a person, this is what it means about them. They're under the law. They're living under law. Why? They're dominated. They're not dominated by grace. They're dominated by sin. And I know why. Let me sit down and listen to them talk for a while. See, the thing it is, you've got to begin to say what the Bible says. The Bible says, let God be true and every man a liar. If God said that sin's not going to have dominion over you, in other words, Christians are not going to be in the practice of sin. That's not... If God said that, well then, it would be a lie for me to say about myself or tell anybody else anything else. To tell people, well, you're just going to sin, that's lies. That is lies. Now, they may not see that they're doing that, but they're lying. They're telling people that sin will dominate you and we're just going to sin. You're under law, man. Oh, they'll say about grace, but they really believe that where sin abounds, grace will not abound. But see, you got to learn to get over. If the Bible says certain things on a subject about you, I don't care what it looks like, the direction you're going in. If you want to change your direction, first you got to change your believing, and then change your saying. That's what you have to do. Because if you're not going to do it by your willpower. If your willpower could do this thing, we wouldn't need faith. What would be the point of faith? But faith puts God's power to work. I found this. My willpower can carry me to a certain point on things. But I found this out. If I will start to believe what God's Word says and begin to say it, that power of me believing it and say it will start setting me on a course. James said, if a man can control his mouth, he can control his whole body. He's not talking about just sickness and disease. He can control his body. The lusts of the flesh will not dominate you. The desires of the flesh won't dominate us. They dominate us because of what we believe and say. That's what dominates us. The power of this faith, and that's why it's so important. We're talking about this faith thing. If this faith will move mountains, we talk about it moving mountains. But this faith will change anything around us or anything about us. See, your body, as talked about, Jesus always spoke to animate objects. He never prayed. He didn't pray about storms. He didn't pray about like that. Animate objects, things that operate in this nature. Jesus spoke to trees. He said, you can talk to mountains. Your body is a physical, animate object, touchable. And you have to learn to speak to your body. You learn to talk to your body. You start talking and telling your body. You can pray night and day, you all you want about it. But you got to learn to start saying the right things, to start talking the right things. See, I learned concerning divine health has to do about how you talk about health and you talk about your body. Is your view of your body like the Bible says? Is your view of the body like whatever you see or whatever you think somebody said or whatever some doctor said or whatever? Whatever. It's what you begin to look at what the Word of God says. You want to fashion yourself into something, then you're going to have to believe something and begin to say it. And that's the power that will begin to put things to work for you, bringing your body into line and begin to speaking the right things. I'm trying to think of a gentleman's name teaches about confession. He's went on to be with Jesus. Anyhow, he loved to hunt. This guy'd go out hunting all the time. He'd go out hunting, And he would end up always getting poisoned. He'd get out around things and he'd get poisoned. And so he decided, you know, he had really had never done nothing about this. And he decided, here's God teaches confession. And he said, well, you know, I've never said anything about this. So he started making confession that he don't get poisoned anymore. And his body don't accept that. And he started making a confession about it. I don't get poisoned anymore. I don't do that. And he said, I would go out and I would go hunting, because he said, I love to hunt. And he said, I would go out and he said, I'd get poisoned. And he said, I'd say, no, I don't get poisoned. You see, this is most people say, see, this isn't working. That's the first thing most people jump on. They'll jump on the thing and begin to confess whatever they feel, they say, you know, see, touch, take. And he'd say, no, I don't. Well, this went on for a year or so. Then the following year, he went out hunting.